Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see each of you on this another day that the Lord has made. And it is August the 9th in the year 2020. And I don't know if we have anyone new out here or not, but my name is Velma Jean Sanders, and I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class in Omaha, Nebraska. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is my pastor, and Sister Marcia Hall is the ministry leader of the Life Development Ministry. We join together in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and He who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Today we will be continuing in our study from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9. I hope all of you have your Bibles. You need your Bibles. I encourage you as well to have pen and paper just to take notes from scripture references and also whatever other notes you want to take. So our passage today, we will be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And I have been praying for you. I pray for you daily. I can't call everyone by name. But I do pray for the Zoom class daily, and I ask for your prayers for me as well. To any of you that have, I know there have been some deaths in some of your families. So on behalf of myself, as well as the entire class, we offer our condolences to you, and we will be praying that the Lord comfort you in this time of your bereavement. Others of you are trying to recover from surgery, and I want you to know I'm praying for you that the Lord will bring you through, that He will heal you and restore you. So I'm praying for you in that regards. I know that all of us have needs. Everyone out here has some type of need, and God knows all of our needs. So we just want to keep one another in prayer. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, our Father, and we bless your holy name on this a brand new day where you met us with brand new mercies and you showed us even already this morning your steadfast love for us. We praise you, Lord God, our God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We are gathered together in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we ask you now by your Spirit to be our teacher, to lead us and to guide us in truth. We pray that you will glorify your name, and we will be careful to give your name the praise forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. I don't know if we have any new people out this morning, but if we do, new people with us on Zoom are newer. But if we do, I welcome you, we welcome you to the Contemporary Bible class. I encouraged each one of you last week to invite at least one person to join our class. You can't make anyone join, but you can offer to them the invitation to join us. Everyone needs the Word of God. And so you can make that part of your mission work to invite others to join the class. To you who have been inviting others and they have joined in, God bless you. God bless you for doing that. Help spreading the word about this place where God feeds his people through his word. Today, our study is from Luke chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And the passage of scripture is what is commonly called the Transfiguration. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard about the Transfiguration. But perhaps you have not heard about it. So that's what we'll be studying on today is the Transfiguration. Now, Transfiguration, we're going to read our passage, of course, but we want to start out with the word. I want to start out the word Transfiguration. Well, that actual word is not in the Bible, but the word now I have to be careful when I say that because there are so many versions nowadays that who knows what's in somebody's Bible. But in for the major, quote, major versions of the Bible, the word Transfiguration is not in the actual text of the Bible. Now, in my Bible, which is a study Bible that has subtopics, it does say the transfiguration. Now, having said that, the word transfigure is in the Bible. And we'll see that when we turn to, let's turn to Matthew chapter 17 right now. Matthew chapter 17, but hold Luke chapter 9, because Luke chapter 9 is our home base scripture. But let's go to Matthew chapter 17 and find this word transfigure. So it's in Matthew chapter 17. And when we look at Matthew 17, verse 2, and verse 2 says, and he, Jesus Christ, was transfigured before them. So there's the word transfigure, and we just call it, it's commonly called the transfiguration. Now, when you hear the word transfiguration or transfigure, well, most of us know the prefix, you know, prefix and suffix. The prefix is trans, the suffix figure or figuration. The prefix trans, most trans words mean change, some type of change. And if you looked up in your dictionary, trans words, you would find a whole lot of trans words. And I just wrote down a few. There's the word transfer. Well, you know, if there's a transfer, there is a change. Transportation. Well, transportation is movement about. The word transformation. And then, of course, there's transmission. And there are many other trans words. Well, today we're going to look at transfiguration. So there is a change, trans meaning change, figure, change in the figure. So we are going to behold the Lord Jesus changing his figure before his disciples. Jesus Christ transfigured, a change in his figure. All right. So having said that, when we look at Luke chapter 9, verse 27 through 36, and I'll be reading it in a few moments. But I want to give you the parallel scriptures right now. Everyone does not have a study Bible. And I encourage you, if you can, to get a study Bible. But if you don't, the parallel scriptures are found in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. And also in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. That's Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. Those are the parallel scriptures to Luke chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. But I also would like for you to add to your scripture references, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And 1 Peter, as we know, 2 Peter is 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 and 2 Peter was written by the apostle Peter that will show up in this scripture today. And so those are the parallel scripture as well as Peter's scripture in 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18. Now, when we read this passage, you are going to see that this is a miraculous, it is beyond a miracle. This passage of scripture is on a whole nother level. Now, we've seen our Lord Jesus do many, many mighty, wonderful works. We have seen him walk on the water, and we know that was a miracle. We have seen Jesus in our scriptures heal many sick of all kinds of diseases, cure infirmities. We have heard the Lord Jesus speak like no one else can speak in his preaching and in his teaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God. We have seen the Lord Jesus raise the dead. And you could go on and on with the miracles of the Lord. His first miracle, as we know, found in the gospel according to John, is when Jesus turned water into wine. And that, sure enough, is a miracle. Jesus has done many miracles our Lord Jesus has done. And when we look at this passage, the Transfiguration, we are going to see that, yes, you could say it's a miracle, but I would say this is beyond a miracle. This is something on an entirely different level. And we'll see why more as we study today. So let me read the passage today and Luke chapter 9. I encourage you to follow along with me. I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. And so that ends our reading of the word of the Lord. And we say amen to God's word. Well, this passage of scripture, now I'm not going to give a big review this morning of what we've been studying, but it is in the context of everything that we have been studying in chapter 9 and even before that. One of the themes of chapter 9 is Jesus asks, who do men say that I am? And we had found out that Herod was wondering in chapter 9, who is this? And then Jesus asked, who do the people say that I am? And there were varied answers. They were saying that he was one of the prophets. But then Jesus, as we know, asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And the reply was, especially from Peter, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so this passage in chapter 9 is still defining, and Jesus is defining for us who he is. He is showing to us, he asked the question, who do men say that I am? He asked the question, who do you say that I am? But Jesus, he himself, has to reveal himself to us. No one knows who he is unless he, the Father, reveals the Son to us. And we saw that scripture several weeks ago. And so it takes the Spirit of the Lord to reveal Jesus. Now we're going to see in this passage, Jesus is going to, quote, help us out. He's going to show us, yes, he let us know he is the Christ. When Peter said, you are the Christ, Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But then we found out Peter went on and Jesus went on talking to Peter and saying how blessed he was and how Jesus let Peter know he was going to give him the keys of the kingdom. And he upon this rock, he would build his church. And Jesus said all those good things to Peter. But then Peter, as we know, turned to Jesus to the side and began to rebuke Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, this shall not happen to you." And we know what happened. Jesus rebuked Satan, who was working through Peter. But having said that, even though Peter, who confessed the Christ and then turned around in that same incident and let the devil use him, we still see that the Lord was still working with Peter. And that gives hope to us because we still need the Lord, even in our failures. God can work through our failures and still reveal himself to us. And so Jesus, even though he had to rebuke Satan working through Peter, we see him right here, 8 days later. It tells us in verse 28, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings." So it wasn't very long, and Jesus is going to help Peter out. He's going to help James and John out, Peter, James, and John. And Jesus is better defining who he is, what it means that he is the Christ. And we know we still are learning who is the Christ. Some of us just learned what exactly the name, title Christ means. And we found out that's the anointed one, the Messiah, the King. And so now this passage, as I told you, it is beyond a miracle. There are many miraculous things that happens here. When we look at it, well, we see it starts out what we would say is common or ordinary in verse 28. Now, I haven't forgotten verse 27, but verse 28, it came to pass. Now, that's Luke, the narrator. Luke is the one who is penning this gospel. And that lets us know somewhere behind the scenes, we don't know when or where or how, but somehow this scripture, this occasion found its way to Luke in order for Luke to write it down. And Luke, we found out when we were studying Luke chapter 1, Luke was interviewing people and he was gathering up information from people who had been witnesses to what the Lord Jesus had done on this earth. And so Luke records what has happened. Now in verse 28, it says about 8 days after these sayings. Now we need to stop and find out what are these sayings. Well, you know, after these sayings, well, those sayings would be what Jesus has just said. It can also be everything that Jesus has said. But in the context of the scripture, and you always want to keep scripture in context. In the context of the scripture, Jesus has let us know. Let's go back to verse 22. And in verse 22, Jesus uses his most common name for himself, the Son of Man. And he lets us know that the Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. And he must be raised on the third day. Those things must happen to Jesus, the suffering, the rejection, the killing or the murder, and the being raised. He was killed. Okay, and the being raised. But also when we looked at verse 26, we see something else that occurs. And remember last week, I gave you all those things that are in the gospel. And I said, these things are in the gospels. And I started with the genealogy and went to the conception and the birth and the baptism and all of those things. If you have that list written and you've wrote as your title, these things that are in the gospels, I would like for you to put dot, 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 put a dot, 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 and then put and beyond, because we went beyond last week on what's in beyond what's in the gospels. The gospel accounts per se end with the ascension of the Lord. Now, after the ascension, we found out on last week, after Jesus went back to glory, he was exalted. He was exalted, seated at the right hand of the Father. I also mentioned that he is in his high priestly role today, making intercession for us. And that will continue until the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation being the appearing of Jesus on this earth, where Jesus will be revealed to all humanity. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him in the side." And so now here in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, now Luke chapter 9, verse 22 told us he must suffer, be rejected, be killed, and be raised. But verse 26 lets us know when he comes in his own glory. And so at the start of this train, I'm going to use the word train, connecting cars, at the start of this is suffering. At the end of it is glory. At the start of this is suffering. Jesus must suffer. At the end of this is glory. And so Jesus had to go to through those things to now be glorified. Now, when we look at the transfiguration, you're going to notice that word glory appears more than one time. We see the word glory appearing in verse 31, and it says there, "who appeared in glory." And then we also see in verse 32, "they saw his glory." And so that word glory appears several times. Now let's look at 2 Peter. Let's go see what Peter said about this in 2 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 1, and you have to go to the right in your Bibles, kind of towards the back. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. And Peter, now we know when they saw this transfiguration, when they saw Jesus transfigured, they didn't tell it to anyone. And the reason they didn't tell it is because Jesus had told them not to tell it until he was risen from the dead. And we'll look at that scripture as well. But now in 2 Peter, Peter is telling about it. Peter himself, it is not Luke talking about it. It is not Matthew talking about it. It was Peter. He himself was an eyewitness to the transfiguration. And so Peter gives us his own account. And you know, only you can tell your story. Now Luke, he wrote the story inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what he said was true, because God's word is spirit bread. But Peter, eyewitness, and he's given his own account. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, when we stop right there, Peter is letting us know that him and James and John, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so now we can see Jesus now is going to be glorified. That is one thing that takes the transfiguration beyond a miracle. In the miracles of Jesus, yes, he turned water into wine. Yes, he walked on the water. And those are all miraculous things. And they let us know that Jesus Christ is God. Those miracles were given so people would know Jesus is God. But the transfiguration, the miracle per se, beyond the miracle, is his own self. Jesus, his own self, is transfigured. And he is now in being glorified before Peter, James, and John, and he reveals to them his majesty. Now, in that regards, this is different than a miracle. Jesus is transfiguring himself and showing forth his glory, his true divine nature. And so Peter lets us know here, "we were eyewitnesses of his majesty," verse 17. "For he," Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory." Now, this is one time where the Father himself, during the transfiguration, is going to give audible honor and glory. And it says in verse 17, "he," Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory." There's that word glory again. And look at the name here. I love this name. It says the excellent glory. We don't know what that is, the excellent glory, but we know it's excellent glory. And when we get to glory, heaven, when we're in heaven in the presence of God, we will be in the presence of excellent glory. And so Jesus received at the transfiguration honor and glory. Now this fits in with his exaltation. First there was suffering, but then there will come glory. Now the transfiguration, Jesus has not yet died. We know that he has not yet died. But at this point in time, he's helping out his disciples to see who he is, to know, yes, he is the Christ and he is God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 again. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so Peter gives his own account of what happened in Luke. Okay, so let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Now, I believe you can see now why I would say that this is beyond a miracle, because the Lord himself is transforming himself in the presence of these disciples. Verse 27. Now, verse 27 is red letter. Jesus is still talking. It starts with the word but. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have other versions, I don't know how it starts. But in the New King James, it starts with a but. So that lets you know. Now, this is connected some kind of way, but it's also going to contrast with what has been spoken before. And Jesus is letting us know, I tell you truly. Now, whenever Jesus talks, it's the truth. But Jesus is just emphasizing that he is speaking the truth. And he lets all the people know. It's, you know, back in verse 23 says, then he said to them all. And when you read the other accounts, Matthew or Mark, you find out that Jesus had called other people around him at this time. And so he says in verse 27, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here. So we can see there was a group of people around Jesus, and the disciples were in that group. There are some standing here who shall not taste death. In other words, there's some people in that group who would not die. Well, they will eventually die, but they wouldn't die until they see the kingdom of God. So Jesus says right here, there are some in this group, some people in this group, that they're in their lifetime will behold the kingdom of God. Now, us as believers today, whether you know it or not, if we are truly born again, we have seen to some degree the kingdom of God. Now, we may not have known what we were looking at, but to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he bore our sins, paid the price for sin, buried and raised again from the dead, and we place faith in that and repent of our sins, to that degree, we behold the kingdom of God. But here, this is different because Jesus is now going to actually transfigure himself before these three disciples. But I want us to go to John chapter 3, because I want us to see where all of us who are born again, whether we knew we were looking at it or not, we have seen the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, very common passage. John chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so there that is again, seeing the kingdom of God. Well, how do you see the kingdom of God? Well, you must be born again. There's a new birth that must occur. And after the new birth, now Jesus has to continue by the Holy Spirit revealing to us the kingdom of God. And that's what he's doing in these classes. Even now, he's still revealing to us the kingdom of God. And then verse 5 says, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, we want to see, but we also want to enter the kingdom of God. And it starts with being born again, truly being the Lord's child. Okay, let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 27. So Jesus is letting the people know, those people that were around him, that there was a group there. Some of them would not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. All right. Now, on the basis of that, verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. Well, those are the sayings that we just read. Now let's look at those sayings real quickly again. Verse 22, these are the sayings. We need to keep this in mind. The sayings are, he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be killed, and he must be raised. But Jesus didn't stop there. In verse 23, he went on to know to all of us, if we desire to come after him, we are required to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. That is true discipleship, is following Jesus, denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And then Jesus lets us know in verse 24. Now, this is the incentive for us to deny ourselves. This is the incentive for us to take up our crosses daily. Verse 24, whoever desires to save his life, if you hold on to yourself, if you make yourself an idol and just live for yourself, ultimately you will lose it. You're going to lose your life, and that person will end up in hell. But to the one who loses his life and really follows Jesus and really denies themselves and gives their all to Jesus, for his sake, they will save it. And then you will come into your full purpose for a living. Verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? That is quite the question. So he's letting us know the whole world is not worth losing your soul. And so now let's think about everyone I can see on my screen now. I don't think I see anyone under 20 years old. So let me go to the next page. Now, some of you got phone numbers that I can't see and a bunch of names. So if there's anyone out here under 20, unmute yourself and let me know. Okay. And then, all right, if I go to under 30.
Velma. Yes. I have my little nephew.
There's a little baby there.
He's 3 years old.
All right, he's under 20. Praise the Lord.
He just came up to join me.
He counts in our class. Yeah. You know, the word of God is good for all, the young and the old.
He just came up to join.
Okay.
I'll put you on mute again.
What is his name?
Chance. Chance Armstrong.
Chance Armstrong. All right. So to everyone, that's Catherine, who lives in Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm
going to go on and make my point here. Whatever age we are, now Chance there, yeah, he's way under 20. But everyone else, we are over 20. Some are over 30. I'm in that group. Some are over 40, over 50, over 60, over 70. And we could keep going over 80, maybe even over 90. And if you look at your life, we look at our life, because I look at my own age, and I can't believe how old I am already. And you probably could say the same thing. When you think of how old you are, whatever that age may be, it's like, I can't believe I'm this old. And the next saying is, where did time go? Well, the point I'm trying to make is, do what you can for the Lord now. Because next thing you know, before you know it, it will be time. Time's going to belt you out of here and you will be into eternity. And eternity is way longer. There's no time limit to eternity. So don't live for this life. I mean, set your affections on things above. And I'm trying to do that more and more, you know, with each passing of the day. The scripture said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So life is very short. Don't live for this life. Don't live for this life. Live for Jesus. Seek him. Follow him. Because everyone who has passed, everyone who has died, the group in heaven and the group in hell, if they could come back, they would have a message for us. The group in hell would tell us, don't come to this place. And we would say, I'm not going there. That's what I would say. Thanks be to Jesus. But the hell group would say, don't come here. The people in heaven, they would say a lot of things. But one thing I imagine the people in heaven would say is, don't miss glory. Do not miss glory. It is worth it to serve Jesus. And so Luke chapter 9, verses 23, follow Jesus. Jesus is worth more than the whole world. And then he goes on. Now let's go on to the transfiguration here. Verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took Peter, John, and James, three of his disciples. And we've seen Jesus take these three disciples alone before. When Jesus raised the little girl from the dead, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him. And he also took the parents into that room and raised the girl from the dead. But here again, we see Jesus taking this inner circle of disciples, Peter, John, and James. Now, you may ask the question, why come he didn't take the other disciples? And the basic answer to that is out of his sovereign will and his wisdom. Out of the sovereign will and wisdom of the Lord, he only took these three. Now, keep in mind, everything that Jesus does, he is doing it based on how his Father is leading him. And so he takes Peter, John, and James, and they went up. They go up, and there's a lot of significance to this. They went up on the mountain to pray. And it says, and went up, Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. All right, so we got the picture. They're up on the mountain. Now, just that alone, there's a whole study someone could do on mountains and going up on the mountains. But we'll just say mountain. Well, we know mountains are up. And so we're already in a, quote, glorified place, up on this mountain, in a glorified place, in an exalted place. Jesus is getting ready to be transfigured. But it's also a place of separation. Jesus is separating himself as well as Peter, John, and James from the others. And so they go on this up on this mountain, and it says to pray. But we notice the only one praying, verse 29, as he prayed. So we see as he prayed. Well, did Peter, John, and James pray? No, there's no indication that Peter, John, and James prayed. Why come they didn't pray? I don't know. But they were not praying. And we have not seen them pray at all in scripture yet. We have never seen the disciples pray henceforth so far in Luke. Not one time have we seen the disciples pray. Now we will get to the place where we see where they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. So here in Luke, the only one praying is Jesus. What are the disciples doing? Well, I imagine when they went up on the mountain, this is my imagination. When they went up on the mountain, Jesus begins to pray. And we studied several weeks ago, whenever Jesus prays, there is going to be some advancement in the kingdom work of God. There is going to be some shift in the work of the Lord, an advancement of the kingdom. And so Jesus is praying. Now, I imagine Peter, James, and John started out listening. But you know how it is. This is just practical. And all of you can probably say amen. If you've been in any type of public worship, or it could even be on Zoom class. And if I'm praying, or if you're in public worship and somebody else prays, and you have thought sometime, probably, how long are they going to pray? When are they going to finish that prayer? Now, you all have probably thought that. How long are they going to pray? Well, Peter, James, and John, they went to sleep. Because it lets us know in verse 32, Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. Now, prayer is a battle for a lot of people. Some people are gifted to automatically. They have been spiritually gifted to intercede. But Peter, James, and John here are not in prayer. It is Jesus alone praying. What did he pray? Well, we don't know what he prayed. We don't know what he prayed. But in the context of the scripture, I can imagine what he was, to some degree, what he was praying about. And we'll see that as we go on. So they're up on this mountain, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus is praying. Peter, James, and John go to sleep. They're asleep, and it tells us they're heavy with sleep. And as Jesus is praying, and this lets us know if there's any other lesson, there's many lessons we need to learn. But one lesson we need to all learn even more is there is power in prayer. Whenever Jesus prayed, there was a shift in the kingdom. There is power in our prayers too. So don't give up on praying. Keep on, continue in prayer. Okay, so Jesus is praying, and it says here in verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. The appearance of his face was altered. Now we need to see what Matthew said. So hold Luke, because I want us to see what Matthew said about the face of Jesus. Now some of you know this, others do not. So let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Matthew 17, 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Now, you all, we know the sun. You know the sun, the one that I heard somebody saying that it's going to be a hot day today? Well, it is going to be a hot day today, but Jesus is brighter than the noonday sun. And as he was praying, his face transfigures, his face shone like the sun. Now see, when it said it shone like the sun, that's the best it could be described to us. So we could to some measure picture it. But he would be even brighter than that. But so that we could picture it, it says his face shone like the sun. And we can all get a picture of that. And you know, when that sun is shining in that full light, we can't even look at it. And so that's why I say this is beyond a miracle. Jesus now has done what? He has pulled aside, as it were, his human flesh and has revealed now his divine nature as God. And one thing we know about the Lord, God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so Jesus pulls aside, and you have to kind of picture this in your mind. It's like the human part of him, he unfolded it or opened it, as it were, and showed forth his divine nature. He is God. And the miracles did that too, but now Jesus is showing that in himself. Let's go back to Luke 9 here. Luke chapter 9, I have to speed up because time is moving. Luke chapter 9, verse 29, as Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And that's from the glory of the Lord. That's from the glory of him, the light. He is the light. And his robe became white and glistening. And so you have to picture this glory, 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 the Lord in his majesty. Now, I want to start quickly and just say this. This is a by the way. As far as we know, scripture does not reveal how Jesus looked in his human nature. We don't know Jesus's skin tone. All we know, this is all we know about Jesus physically. We know he was a man. We know he was a man. He was the man. He was second last Adam. We know that he was a Jewish man. We know that. Scripture tells us that. He was born of the lineage of Abraham. He was a Jew. other than knowing that Jesus was a man and that Jesus was a Jew, we do not know his skin color. So don't get hung up on whether he was black or white or red or yellow. That is not even the issue. And some people get hung up on, you know, they want to make him black or they want to make him white, or some say, well, they serving a white Jesus. All of that, none of that matters. He is the Lord, and he was last Adam, the man, fully the man. And so I just want to say, don't get hung up on was he black or white. We don't know his skin tone. We know he was Jewish. We don't know his hair texture. We don't know his eye color. And you could find paintings of Jesus in all kinds of colors. But we don't know the true nature of Jesus, the Bible, the true physical appearance of Jesus. We do know, because Isaiah tells us, that Jesus looked like an ordinary man. He had no outward beauty. He would not be on a cover of a magazine. We do know that because Isaiah 53 tells us, Isaiah 53 tells us, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, that's Isaiah 53, I'm trying to quote it. He hath no form nor comeliness. So that comeliness means outward beauty. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And you see these paintings of Jesus where they've got Jesus all looking, quote, good and pretty, depending on who's looking at it. Jesus was just an ordinary looking man. And he was so ordinary. You all remember when Judas led the group into the garden to arrest Jesus? They didn't know who Jesus was because he blended in with the rest. That's why Judas gave him that kiss. And that's why Judas let them know, the one I kiss, that's him. And so Jesus just blended in with the others. All right. But now here, Jesus reveals divine nature. He is light, and he shows forth himself as light. As he prayed, verse 29, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him. Now we see some more glory is going to happen. Now, as we're studying this scripture today, it's a miraculous scripture. Jesus's face has changed. Elijah and Moses are going to show up. A cloud is going to come down. The Father is going to speak, and he is going to say, this is my beloved son. Well, as we're studying today, none of those things are going to happen to us. There will be no changing of my face or yours, okay? Jesus is not going to show up to us and change his appearance. There will be no clouds come down from heaven, not for us today. There will be no audible voice from the Lord. But that doesn't mean we're going to miss out. We're not going to miss out. We have the full, we are at a benefit where we are today. We have the fullness of scripture. We have the full canon of scripture here from Genesis to Revelation. Whereas Jesus back in Luke, he's still defining, he's still revealing himself. And it was written here for us years later. And so we don't miss out. We have the Holy Spirit to illuminate us so we can see Jesus too. We're going to behold him, but not in the way that they did. Okay? So we behold him by the Spirit. Okay, so in Luke chapter 9, verse 30, two men talked with him. Now it says, and behold, two men talked with him. They showed up, these two men. Evidently, the Father sent them. The Father sent these two men. Jesus, as far as we know, and I do believe this to be true, Jesus was not conjuring spirits, because that is forbidden by the Bible, to conjure up the dead. And so we know Jesus was not conjuring spirits. Amen. Now we know spirits. We know when we die, the spirit and soul go on to glory. And so this Moses and Elijah appeared. They did appear, but it's not because Jesus conjured it up. Jesus was just praying. He was praying. And then behold, Moses and Elijah, they appeared. They appeared where? In glory, because Jesus was in glory. He was in his glory. He was in his majesty. He was in the light. The light of the Lord was revealed on him. And so Moses and Elijah, they appear with Jesus in glory. And they begin to talk. It says they spoke. Who's talking? Who's talking? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease. Now I need to back up, verse 30. And behold, two men talked with him. Notice that. It's two men talking with Jesus. So we have these three, Jesus, Christ, the man, God, Moses, and Elijah. And it doesn't say Moses and Elijah talked to Jesus. It says they were talking with him. So there's this conversation going on the mountain. Now, Peter, James, and John are asleep. They are asleep. But these two men show up, Moses and Elijah. And there's a lot of talk, a lot of studies, a volume of books have been written on why it was Moses and why it was Elijah. I'm not going to go into all of that. But it was Moses and it was Elijah. And they were talking about, we know their conversation. It tells us their conversation. Verse 30, it tells us the subject of the conversation. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease. So we know, what are they talking about? They're talking about what Jesus has yet to accomplish at Calvary. They're talking about his death. So verse 31, they appeared in glory, spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And so now use your imagination here, because God has told us to meditate on his word. And as we meditate, he reveals things to us. Now they're talking to Jesus about his decease, about his death. And we know that decease, that suffering, and we don't want, when we say Jesus told us he had to suffer, don't skip over the word suffer. Now, some of us know suffering to some degree. We don't know sufferings like Jesus does, but we know sufferings to some degree. And we have a high priest who has suffered. We have Jesus, the man who has suffered, so he can relate to us. Now, Jesus going to Calvary, he's got to go to Calvary, right? Because we know that. He's just revealed he must die. And Moses and Elijah show up, talk to Jesus about his decease. Well, why do you think they would talk with him? Well, the Father sent them. And I just imagine, this is my imagination, that the Lord, the Father, was sending his son strength and help through these two men who had passed on. They had done their work. They had fought their battles. And they were there to encourage. Because remember, even though Jesus is God, Jesus is still the man. He is still the man. And he really did suffer. He felt all that pain, all the pain that we feel in our sufferings, he felt it. And so he wasn't looking forward to Calvary in the sense that going through the pain, who wants to go through the pain? And so the Father at this time, now we're going to be on this study again next week, I can tell. The Father at this time sends these men because they can relate and they can help Jesus. And one point for that is God will too send us someone to talk to sometimes. Now we need the Lord, because you'll find out Moses and Elijah, they're going to leave. They disappear. They go back. And we are not to talk to the dead. We're not to do that. So we talk to Jesus, to the Father in the name of Jesus. But God will send others to encourage us. Now, in closing today, we only have 1 minute. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, because I want you to see other scriptures to back up the point I'm bringing out. In Luke chapter 22, we'll read this and then we have to close for the day. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, And he knelt down and prayed. Now we know we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. You know, I don't want to suffer. Take this away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And so I believe in Luke chapter 9 that God sent these two men, Moses and Elijah, to strengthen him, to prepare him for this great work of Calvary. Our time is up for today. We'll continue in this study on next week. I encourage you to continue reading, praying, go back in Luke and also forth, reading Luke and meditating on this passage. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you that we can come to you. We thank you that you understand all our struggles. And we thank you for such a high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. For those who are in our Zoom class today that are going through any degree of suffering, may they know, and any degree of pain and agony and grief, may they know that there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. We thank you for our study. I ask you to continue to apply it to our hearts. Be with us through this week and keep us in your care. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that God bless each of you during this week. Amen.
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 Thank
you, Chance.
Velma.
I'm glad you're with us. Yeah, I'm glad you're with us, Chance.
Thank you, Velma.
God bless you, everyone.
Have a good week.
You.
Have a good
week. Okay.
All right.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
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 Love you.
Good morning.
Amen. Amen.
Wasn't that beautiful?
God bless.
Yes.
Great job, Velma.
God bless the Lord. To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Amen. You can say hello, Miss Sadie.
I'll be praying for you.
Miss Sadie, home. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. God bless week, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think they've